Welcome back to our 20th episode, for real 20th episode this time.
Mm-hmm. Of you can count.
Flicker Flop.
Flicker Flop, that's us. Flicker Flop. I'm Jeremy Kibler.
And I'm Alex Maynard, your co-host. Right. Looking forward to review some films this week. Definitely some interesting times that we're in, but we're going to keep it light, short, sweet. Let you escape this reality.
Right.
That we're facing.
Escapism.
So with that being said, we have, two flicks, two flops, maybe three. What do we have? What are we talking about this week?
I think we should do three. We're going to throw in one that we watched last night.
Oh, the one last night? Okay, yeah. That was great. Oh, yeah. Whoops.
Was
Oopsie.
It we'll get started.
Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. So we'll start with The Vast of Night.
The Vast of Night.
The Vast of Night. It's available on Amazon Prime. Free if you pay for Amazon.
So it's an Amazon original?
Yes.
Or whatever?
Yes, an Amazon original. They picked it up, okay. Distributed it. So this takes place in the 50s in a New Mexico town. One night, there's a big basketball game going on at the high school, the local high school. And there are power issues with the lighting. Excuse us, we have a monster in the house.
That was Minnie. Oh my word.
French bulldog. So as I was saying, there are power issues going on at the high school with the lighting and the scoreboard. So the school brings in... the high school brings in a radio DJ who also happens to be like a tech whiz. His name's Everett. There's a plucky 16-year-old named Faye who kind of idolizes Everett. You know, she listens to him on the radio. And she is in the gymnasium and she gets Everett to start, like, tinkering around with her tape recorder. And he walks her to her late-night shift where she works as a switchboard operator. And then once Faye starts receiving a strange audio frequency, she shares it with Everett. And then he broadcasts it on his show. They get a few callers in. And then they do some further investigation. And they try to get to the bottom of, you know, what's going on with the people in the sky that are hovering over the town. So, as you can probably tell, this is like an alien invasion story. You know, it's set in the 50s.
Like a sci-fi.
Yeah, it's a lo-fi sci-fi. It's micro budget, you know, very small budget, limitations with the budget. Very retro.
I feel like the budget doesn't even, like, always...
it does not dictate quality at all. Yeah. No. So this is from a first-time director. His name's Andrew Patterson. I think he did a lot with a little... it's a cool technical exercise, I would say. It really does capture this 1950s vibe, this retro vibe of like oral storytelling. Like you almost feel like it would play just as well on the radio back when there were radio shows. This is kind of reminded me of the Orson Welles radio episode, The War of the Worlds. It's also kind of...
Which I loved.
Yeah. Well, not the Steven Spielberg one, but, like, the episode War of the Worlds back in, like, I don't know, the 20s. But I do love the Steven Spielberg.
No, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do love that Steven Spielberg one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this reminded me of that a little bit. It's also framed as an episode... of, like, a TV show, kind of like The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, did you...
I...
What did you think?
Well, you know my thoughts. Like, I just wasn't a fan.
Tell the people.
Oh, well, I
tell the people in the sky.
Well, my thing is, like, exactly what you said. Like, Twilight Zone, like, I can't even begin to describe it. I just know that it was like, wait, what? All over the place. Don't know. Really... where was it going? Terrible acting.
Oh, really?
I mean, I'm sorry. You can't always blame the actors. I mean, I guess it could be the script, right? There have been times where it's like, okay, just great actor, poor script. And I guess poorly directed because somebody would be there to say, hey, this isn't working. Yeah. But yeah, I can't even say anything more than that. I don't know. So tell me what.
Well, I'll tell you what I liked about it. I'm a real sucker for like long tracking shots. Like it always gives me that thrill of like, how did they do that? And I found out how they did some of these tracking shots. They had somebody on a go-kart, like, going around town. There's this long shot where it starts at, like, one location. It starts at the switchboard operator building, and then it goes all the way to the gymnasium. And that's really cool. I love...
It's more of, like, the technical aspect.
Yeah, it's a great technical film. Yeah. Yeah, now, this was, like, a festival darling. It did very well at, you know, on the festival circuit.
Of course it did. We talk about this all of the time.
I know.
When you go to a festival, it's an experience. Everyone's just like, right. Ooh, even if it's a shithole of a movie.
But there are a lot of critics that are really raving about this, and I don't even think they saw it at a festival. They might have watched it on a screening link just like I did. I feel like this would have played better for me, like, on the big screen at a drive-in. I feel like I might have gotten more into its pacing, because I'm okay with, like, slow pacing. I'm okay with talkie movies. I didn't have any problems with the acting. I did like the dialogue here and there. Mm-hmm. It had like a crackling 50s screwball back and forth banter between Everett and Faye. And there are also a lot of long stretches.
The Frenchies are going crazy.
I'm laughing
because
the Frenchies are kind of funny.
I don't even know what they're doing.
Whatever.
Always.
But as I was saying,
hoping they were sleeping.
Nope. There are long stretches where I think the director just focuses on the performances and even just the voices, like the voices of the callers when they're telling these stories of government secrets and, you know, what might be up in the sky.
Right.
Some of that is very compelling, but then it's also, it kind of became a little tedious to me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I don't know. I keep going back to the technical aspects of it. Like, I liked the score. It had this, like, violin score.
So, yeah. Yes, great. Awesome. Right. The details, impeccable.
Yeah.
Jury's out on that. I mean, people are not going to a movie or watching a movie to take a look at the technical things. They're looking for the overall experience.
I think the technical elements can go into
it's
wowing
a contributing
an audience.
Factor for sure.
It's a simple story. It's
like a credit score. You got to take a look at all certain factors. It's like not right. That yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, this is more than a credit score, but no, this kind of it kind of falls into the trap of this is like filmmaking 101. It's cinema is a visual medium, so it's all about showing rather than telling. There is a lot of telling here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of talkiness. I think it works successfully sometimes, but sometimes I think this would work better as like a 25-minute short or a radio play.
I was bored.
Yeah, it for me it had hints of greatness given the budget and the ambition, and it had like a charm to it, but
so 50s, like, I don't know, do I just not like 50s or is this a terrible interpretation of the 50s?
No, it never felt hokey to me, actually. It felt kind of authentic, but I don't know, I wasn't gripped. I wasn't, you know, dying to wait how this would end up, and the payoff is kind of underwhelming, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know. Everyone is loving this, and I kind of wish I saw the movie that they were seeing. Mm-hmm. I might watch it again, but I don't know. I'm kind of bummed because I was looking forward to this. Right?
Yeah.
She agrees.
Minnie.
Minnie totally agrees.
Yep. She says exactly. Yeah. She says don't watch it again.
So, you know,
that's what she was barking up about.
I don't know. I'm kind of like in the middle.
You really want to love it.
I really wanted to love it. And so I don't even know, you know, if I should give this an actual score, flick or flop. I think if...
You tell us.
If you...
Do you just leave it at that, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, like, indifferent. You know, if you like the 50s, if you like alien invasion movies, it's a flick. If you're not quite sure, it's a flop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. I definitely think this is seeing more for, like...
Seeing it at a drive-in would be cool.
Yeah.
Now that you're saying that, I mean, that could be cool.
Yeah, I think
especially during whatever this is.
Yeah. I think that would definitely add some value to it. But, so we'll move on from there. But it's on Amazon if you want to check it out. I will say I'm curious to see what the filmmaker Andrew Patterson does next. I'll say that.
Because he like definitely has talent. That's going to be like a telling.
Yeah.
He'll be the first three, maybe. So this was his first?
This is his first, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like the first three, maybe, you kind of have to, like, they're going to be really...
There's always that myth of, like, the sophomore slump, like, but I think if I didn't like this film, maybe I'll like a second film.
Uh-huh.
So it won't be a sophomore slump. Let's move on to a slump. No.
Which one?
Dangerous Lies.
Oh, the one that we watched last night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not to go right out of the gate calling it a slump, but no.
I don't know why, yeah.
Yeah. So, I liked it. Okay, so Camila Mendes, she's from that show Riverdale. She plays Katie, and she's married to Adam, played by Jesse T. Usher. They're this young couple. She is currently working as a caregiver to Leonard, this older man played by Elliot Gould. He's really sweet with her. She's only been there for like 4 months, but they have this really nice friendship, you know, beyond... you know, her working for him, and her husband are just kind of struggling, and he kind of keeps, he's struggling with trying to find work, and they are still reeling from this whole... Struggling to find
what they want to do in life.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're also reeling...
going back to school, like, I don't know, I have to argue, like, the whole grad school thing, like, I get it sometimes, but, like, you don't just go back to school to go back to school. And they just seemed like they were in that constant, like, okay, I'll work while you go to school. All right, mm-hmm. then I'm going to go back to school and you work. Like, that mm-hmm. whole dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what... And just in debt. It's the American story. Let's be real. Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's the young American story these days.
Yeah, it's relevant. And they're also reeling from this, like, violent incident, I think, 4 months earlier to when she's... working as a caregiver, you know, four months prior, she was a waitress, and her husband actually saved...
A lot of trauma.
Yeah, he stopped a... was a guy... The guy was robbing the restaurant with, you know...
Or it was, like, an off deal where, you know, somebody sort of was coming crime. After him, you know, to pay up, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so the husband stopped the assailant... And so they're kind of still, you know, shaken up from that. And so not long after she introduces her husband to Leonard, Leonard actually gives Adam a job as a part-time gardener. And, you know, things are going great. And then one routine or seemingly routine morning, Katie goes upstairs serving Leonard his breakfast, and he's stone cold dead. And they also happen to find a trunk load of cash. I forget how much, but it's a lot of cash that could, you know, help them.
I think it was 96 grand or 92 grand.
Okay, that's right. Because they said it was almost...
But that's what they counted, probably more.
Right. So, of course, that amount of cash would help them, you know, become less financially strained. And
after just getting $7,000 from him.
Before and then, he died. And then as the film goes on, I mean, it's not really a spoiler, but, you know, as the film goes on, Katie is confronted by Leonard's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And,
love her.
Yeah. What's her name? Jamie Chung.
Yes. Like I her. Love her.
She was in The Real World.
Yep. She's great.
So she confronts Katie and says, oh, you were on, you were in Leonard's will. You get his house.
Everything.
And everything. And, you know, life seems too good to be true. But then there's also this real estate agent that starts, you know, coming by the house, wanting to buy the house and, or for his client. And, you know, he's up to no good. So, yeah, this is definitely one of those,
Cam.
Like, twisty, yeah, Cam Gagné or whatever his name is. He's not a very good actor. But, I mean, he's kind of...
He just has that face.
He has that, yeah, he has that, just that face. Yeah. Yep. I remember him in Burlesque with Christina Aguilera and Cher.
For me, it's Twilight.
Christina,
yeah.
You're a Cher fan.
Love Cher.
Do you ever see Burlesque with her and Christina Aguilera?
No, I did not. No, but I'm sure I can see him in that, yeah.
Yeah, he played Christina's boyfriend.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure he did. You know... It was very telling. I kind of felt like this was a Lifetime movie. It could have been on Lifetime. And then I looked up the director's filmography. And
oh no.
Lo and behold, he's actually done a lot of Lifetime and Hallmark movies.
I told you Hallmark. Yeah.
Yeah. It has an overall like Lifetime Hallmarky feel. Like, you know, visually.
It does.
A dialogue. And I think there is like, you know.
It's like a soap opera.
A market
whatever.
For those movies.
Yeah.
Netflix is a fine place to watch it. I didn't think it was terrible, but it was.
It's gonna get a great audience.
Yeah, and it's been available to watch since April 30th on Netflix. So I'm sure people have watched it or it's been in their queue and collecting virtual dust. But I like Camila Mendes. I don't know if you've ever watched Riverdale. I've seen, like, a handful of episodes. She's very charismatic, and, I don't know. It was fine. It's a Lifetime thriller. Like, you either like this thing or you don't. I don't really have too much more to say about it. I did find it pretty predictable going on, and I'm not one of those people that usually says, like, oh, this is how it's gonna go. Oh, I saw that coming. I just go along with it, but like once things happened, I'm like, oh, yep, yeah, that.
The acting was questionable at times, but I think that it was the script based upon the filmography that you were saying.
Right. Yeah.
Not to say it's bad. Hey,
it's watchable.
I enjoyed passing the time with the movie.
Right,
it was
great. Watchable. Yeah,
it's a flick for me.
I mean, I'm gonna give it a flop, but, you know, no judgment here if you enjoy it.
No.
All right. So rounding out the reviews, we're gonna finish out with The High Note. So The High Note stars Dakota Johnson. That would be Melanie Griffith's daughter. You're like, who's that? She was in Working Girl. You should know Melanie Griffith. Anyway, she plays the personal assistant to a Grammy-winning soul musician played by Tracy Ellis Ross, who also happens to be Diana Ross's daughter. So, you know, besides managing her boss's schedule and picking up the dry cleaning and getting the Starbucks and everything, Dakota Johnson's character Maggie dreams of being a music producer. She has a great ear for music. And she just has, like, this encyclopedic knowledge, you know, of musical history. And one day she happens upon this this aspiring musician named David, played by Kelvin Harrison Jr., who was in Waves and Loose.
Yes, that's right.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good in this. But, yeah, he gets to be very, like,
charismatic. Yeah, you did say that. Yeah, it's...
So
it's this arguable kind of, for me.
This is like a variation on The Devil Wears Prada, kind of. So, you know, it mainly focuses on the personal assistant, Dakota Johnson, but it also kind of veers into her relationship with Grace Davis is her name, the musician, Diana Ross's daughter. But then also the young up-and-coming musician, David. So it kind of has these, like, three subplots going on. And I found this a lot of fun to watch, actually. I didn't really have, like, you know, the highest of expectations. I really do like Dakota Johnson. She is definitely the best thing about the 50 Shades movies. Mm-hmm. She has, like, a natural screen presence, not only because she's Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson's daughter, they're both actors, but no, she definitely has come into her own. Yeah, this is like a very slick, crowd-pleasing formula movie. Like, you know where it's going. It has a couple surprises, but I enjoyed it, and the soundtrack is pretty catchy. I've found myself listening to some of the songs by Tracy Ellis Ross.
I was going to say, what's your favorite?
There's a song called Stop for a Minute. That's all I'm singing.
Okay.
Also...
Find it on Spotify.
Right, yeah. Find it on Spotify. Also, there's a brief supporting role filled by Zoe Chow, who keeps turning up. She was in That Almost Love... She's the Asian actress, well, Zoe Chow. She was in that Almost Love indie movie that I don't think you really like, The New York, with all the group of friends.
Yeah, didn't like it.
Remember, you remember her? And then she was also in Where'd You Go, Bernadette?
That's right, okay.
Cate Blanchett, and then she's in something else coming up. Oh, she was in Downhill.
Yeah, lots of things.
So she's all over the place, so she's in this now, too.
Yes. She's great.
So yeah, like, as I said in my review that's, you know, still in the process of being written, it doesn't reinvent the wheel, doesn't change the world, but it's a likable wheel, and it might lighten up the world for this, during this time.
Are you talking about the movie?
I'm talking about the movie. I'm just saying, this is like a 2-hour escapism, like, it's light, it's entertaining, but it's not too corny and pat. It was a pleasure to watch.
It was nice.
Yeah. But no, it wasn't. It wasn't like Cornball though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, what would be a Cornball? No. No.
What?
Cats. It's not like Cats.
Well, no, it's not campy. You don't have. You don't have human.
No,
cats.
But I always go back to Cats. I'm like, it's definitely not like Cats.
Never forget Cats.
I know.
Back when we were in a theater. No.
Ages ago. Lifetimes.
But anyway, I would definitely give The High Note a flick. No hesitance about that. Like, I would definitely give it a flick. And it's, I think you can buy it for $20 right now. Or you can find it. But yeah, you can have a bunch of friends over with their masks on, sit on different couches and watch it. And yeah.
Fun times.
Pay $20.
So three movies this week.
Yeah.
Number one was...
Oh, so number one was The Vast of Night.
Right. And that was a flick or a flop?
That was neither.
That was a You Tell Us.
You might like it, you might not.
You gotta tell us. Go watch it.
Right, just go watch it. It's on Amazon.
It's a flop for me.
Number two was Dangerous Lies. Not a very good title, by the way. Very generic. Dangerous Lies.
Cheesy, but a flick for me.
Yeah, flop for me.
Okay.
And then finally, which we just covered.
Yep.
If you have short-term memory loss, The High Note, which I gave a flick to. So, next week.
Next week, what do we have?
Do you know what we have next week?
I don't.
No.
Did we already watch any of them?
Are you dying to know? You watched one of them.
Uh-huh.
But don't give away your...
Okay.
In the tone of your voice.
I'm just gonna zip my lip.
We watched Shirley with Lizzie Moss. not with Lizzie Moss, but she's in
it. Well, I'm just going to say Shirley. I love Lizzie Moss.
Right, there you go. So that's Shirley. That's, well, this week, but next week, whatever. It comes out Friday. And then also a thriller called Becky, which I still have the screening link for. I think you might like it. But
did you already watch it?
I did watch it. But I would watch it. Well, I'm not going to say. You can watch it again. You can watch it.
I can watch it. Okay.
Yes.
Oh my God. Lord, you're so funny.
Why am I funny?
Never mind. Anyway, so that rounds it up. And that sums
that
it up.
That rounds it out. That sums it out.
Whatever. Tomato, tomato at this point. My word.
I guess.
I feel like we're all just going nuts.
Right. Just like the rest of the world. Well, hope you all are being safe and healthy.
We love you lots. Thanks for subscribing. Be sure to like, follow, share.
Do all the things.
Tag a friend if you can. I don't know where you would, but hey, tag a friend. Share
Take them anyway.
Do what you gotta do.
Right. All right. Bye, guys. Have a good one.
Toodles.